Hi there, I'm Lauren, I'm a food addict.
Hi, Lauren.
I haven't spoken at a meeting like this in a very, very long time, and I'm honored to be here. I'm just another bozo on the bus. I'm just another food addict, you know, and all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. I don't know if I can talk for 20 minutes, so if I don't, we can have a discussion or questions or whatever afterwards. Can you hear me? Not so much. Okay. So I was told I'm supposed to talk about sort of my spiritual journey in OA. And although I didn't plan this talk, it did make me think a lot about it because I've been in the program for 30 years. And I would say I didn't really get the spiritual part until maybe the last 6 or 7, really. I'll tell you just a little bit of my story. I came into OA. I used food ever since I was a kid. You know, the TV, shoveling food in my face, trying to ignore what was going on around me. That's what I did, and it saved my life. And then when I got into high school, I started diets, and it went from there, up and down, up and down. You've heard the stories. I had periods of normal eating, and then I had periods of binging. I'm a binger. So when I came to OA, I was starving myself all day. And then I would either run Green Lake, or I would go to an aerobics class, and then I would binge all night. I lived within walking distance of a 7-Eleven. And I would binge until I looked like I was about 8 months pregnant, cry myself to sleep, say, I'm never going to do that again, and I would do it again until, thank God, I sprained my ankle. And I couldn't do it anymore. That was a gift. I went into my first OA meeting, the Monday night meeting that I think is still here, on crutches. And I'd like to say I've been coming back continuously ever since, but I left the program twice. The first 10 years I was in the program, I was able to eat like, you know, kind of normal. And I think it's because, and this is part of my spiritual journey, that I had so much self-hate when I came into this program. And I just couldn't believe the amount of love that was here for me. I'm not a joiner. I'm an introvert. I never joined anything. And I cried all the time at meetings because there was so much kindness and so much love. And that was my spiritual program at that time. It was like, because I believe that higher power is love and goodness. And it was all coming my way. And it was pretty overwhelming. But that kept me abstinent for 10 years until I decided I knew what to eat and I didn't need it anymore. And I was getting married and I was pregnant and I thought that I had arrived, you know. Now I've got everything I want. I'm a normal person, whatever that means. And so I did get married and I did have a child. And lo and behold, I got back into the food because it's not about the food. It's a spiritual solution. And the food, like it says in the AA big book, the alcohol is but a symptom of a deeper malady. But it's not until you stop the food or whatever it is that you're using to run away from yourself that you can find that higher power. So I came back. I brought my son. He was in one of those carry things. I used to come to meetings with my son. He's 28 now. And I couldn't get abstinent. And so then I got into the HOW program. And I did that for 10 years. Weighed and measured, not a problem. Even in restaurants, it was good for me. And I like to call my food plan, whatever I'm on, but I especially called it this back then, my blankie, because it keeps me safe. You know, I know ahead of time what I'm going to eat. I've got it all planned out. you know, it like holds me. Like, you don't have to worry about anything out there because you've got your yummy food that you're going to eat and it's going to take really good care of you. And it did. And then after 10 years, I thought, you know, I'm a slow learner. I thought, well, I know what to eat. So, and at that time, my son and I had joined a theater group. Is that my first 5 minutes? Thank you. A theater group, an outdoor theater group on the Kitsap Peninsula, which we attended for 10 years. And on weekends when we were out there rehearsing or doing a show, they made these big, they had a big lodge and they made these great gourmet meals that people would eat. And I always brought my own food and people were always like, wow, that looks so good. And so I could go there and bring all my food for the weekend. And, you know, and this was, I thought, a normal group. Like, OA is a bunch of sickies, right? And I wanted to be normal. So, and we aren't sickies. Believe me, it's the sickies who aren't here, not us. Anyway, so I stopped coming. And, you know, and after about a year, I was back into the food again. Because it isn't about the food. And spiritually, you know, most of my life, I would say I've been a seeker. When I was younger, I would go to temples and mosques and, you know, and churches and synagogues, and I was trying to find something out there because something was missing in here. And you know, and I found it in OA, and then I found it in being a mom. I got divorced. I found it in being a mom. I found it in, you know, I found this sense of connection and belonging, which I'd never felt. You know, it all started here, but I was able to find it in other places. So, thank God for the food. Thank God for every time I go back to the food. I really appreciate that because then I go to the next level in my program, you know? It's like, I remember when my son was growing up, I used to read these books, like your 2-year-old, your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old, your 5-year-old, and in there they would say, in the middle of the year, your child will regress because they're getting ready to make a leap to their next level. And that's how I think about it here, when we fall down or we go back to the food or something. Something is going on, and it can be an amazing opportunity to go to the next level. I don't see relapse as a bad thing. I don't see going back to the food as a bad thing at all. It's part of most people's story. It's part of my story. It's true in all the other programs. So, so I was getting a sense of spirituality, I think, from feeling like I belong. I joined a church somewhere in there that worked for me and felt like I belonged. But there's something deeper than that. So when I came back this third time, about 10 years ago, I guess now in terms of my food, I sort of know what to eat. I mean, after all these years, I mean, look, I guess a lot of us do, but somebody just asked me, what do you eat? And I say, well, I don't know if you've heard this, but, you know, I don't eat anything from the inner aisles of the supermarket, only from the periphery, nothing out of a box. And my food is delicious. And there's a lot of things I can't eat. There's a lot of things that I could eat when I first came into program that I can't eat because my disease progressed every time I went back out. So, and also I have irritable bowel and some other issues. So I'm always on these weird food plans that my nutritionist says, well, try taking this out or try adding this. And it's really nuts. It's really crazy making. But, you know, I get plenty of food. I kind of weigh and measure because it's my blankie. But I don't always, you know. My husband and I go out sometimes and have nachos, you know. It's okay. So, I was still struggling with higher power. And about 15 years ago, my mother died. And is that 10? Okay. And I belong to a church where you can believe whatever you want. So I went, after my mom died, I went to the minister. I mean, there are Jews and Christians and atheists, and we're just all together there. So, and I asked him, you know, well, what do you pray and what do you believe in and all of that kind of stuff. And he said, yes, I pray. And I said, what do you pray to? And he said, I don't know. He said, but what I believe in is surrender and connection. And that was really powerful for me. That humility, that surrender, you know? Because the food is all about wanting to control things that are out of our control. Feeling scared, feeling unsafe, wanting to make things okay. And so that surrender and knowing that we're safe is really important. And that connection, one of my old sponsors, who I had for quite a few years, used to call the people in program God with skin. And so whenever I make a call, it's God on the other end of the line telling me it's going to be okay. You know, you can do this. All the positive, all the love, all the support, all the kindness. One of the other things I've done in the past is I write Dear God letters. And I don't know where I heard about this, but I write to God in my dominant hand, and God answers me in my chicken scratch of my non-dominant hand. And it's absolutely amazing. And what I always get is love. I don't get, like, because oftentimes I want an answer, but I don't really need that answer. Like, I might say, you know, what should I do about this? I'm really worried about my son, and, you know, should I call him? Should I not call him? What should I do? And God will write something back like, I am holding you both in my heart. I'm like, oh, I guess I don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like we got to bypass the rational mind. I mean, I really believe that God is not up here. You know, I went through the big book one time and I changed all the God words to spirit of life. And then years later, I went and crossed off spirit of life and put the great spirit. You know, it's not up here. You can't think your way to a higher power. It's a gut thing. It's a gut and a heart thing. My very first sponsor she moved away, and so it's been 30 years, but she gave me a poem that I have kept. It's very short. It goes like this. God is love. Its love surrounds me. In its love I safely dwell. 'Tis above, beneath, within me. God is love and all is well. And I still say that to myself. What I wasn't able to find in my early journey, you know, God above, God below, but I couldn't find the God within. And that's, you know, the big book talks about, in the big book it says, our intuition is our direct line to our higher power. I also, a few years ago, I took a big book study, a 9-month big book study. I took it for 3 years. And what?
A 9-month big book study.
For 3 years. Well, 3 years in a row. 9 months. 9 months, three times I took it. Okay. Three times I took it. And that is where I really found my higher power. Because he used to say the whole purpose of the 12 steps and the big book is to find a higher power that can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. That's the whole purpose. It doesn't say anything about food or alcohol. So, and we studied the big book for 9 months. We went through it, and he taught me to look inside. And he taught me that when you ask your higher power for guidance, so that's 15, right? Ooh, I'm doing good. I might be able to talk for 20. Then I won't have to answer any questions. When you, you know, it also says in the big book, you know, ask God for guidance and then go about your day knowing it will come. And what I learned is that if I ask for help, it usually doesn't come in like a direct, yes, you should do this or no, you shouldn't. When I ask for help, there comes a time when I get an intuitive thought or feeling like, ugh, I don't want to do that. Or, oh, that's really good. That's God. That's what I've learned. That's my direct line. And most of my life, around everything in my life, whether it was school or work or program or food or parenting, I tried to figure it out up here. Well, maybe I should do this because if I do this, but then that'll happen. And then, okay, well, this, but then that person will think about, you know, it's, they're just thoughts. They're just thoughts. And they're not the truth with a capital T. The truth is in here. The truth is in here. And when I can take the time to slow down, which I often say I'm a human doing. I have a hard time being a human being. But when I can take the time to slow down and listen, the answer is always there. And the answer is always love. It's always, whether it's for me or for you or for somebody else, it's always things like, whether it's from my writing, which I think is also coming from my intuition, the answer, it's always things like, dear sweet Lauren, you are an amazing human being, and I'm so proud of you. And whatever it is I'm asking, you will know. You will know. Have faith, and you will know. Something like that. I mean, who the hell talks to anybody like that? And I don't know about you, but nobody did when I was growing up. I try to do that with my son. But nobody did that when I was growing up. And my higher power has faith in me because it is inside of me if I just open up and allow it. And I will tell you that I don't always listen to it. Sometimes I say, I hear you, but I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Because you know what? I'm human. And this big book study guy used to call our character defects human frailties. We all have them. We are not the sick people here. We are the people, we are the spiritual people here. The people who have an answer, who are aware that we all have human frailties. And that by working this program, we get to learn more about ourselves and those without condemning ourselves. You know, sometimes character defects sound so negative, like, oh, I've got this defect and it's really bad. And you know, I mean, has anybody never felt greed? Oh, come on. So, or lust or whatever all those deadly sins are. But we're just human. We're not God. And when I'm willing to listen to that, oh, yeah, or, oh, you know, then I won't follow those. Then I won't follow those as much. So, right now, I wish I was the kind of person, I'm a very unstructured person. My husband once took a training about different, they were trying to learn about how people are in the workplace, and you had to, they showed you like a square and a squiggle and a circle and a triangle, and you said, which one are you? And then it tells you what you're really like. I'm a squiggle. So I don't pray and meditate every single day, and I don't write every single, that's not me. But I integrate the program, and I think there was a time I really needed that early on, but I think I integrate it into my life all the time. You know, I'm always stopping and saying, questioning my thoughts and asking what's really going on. What do I need to be doing? I'm always saying, you know, thank you for guiding me. I'm always, sometimes it comes from here, sometimes it comes from you, sometimes it comes from my sponsor. But if I'm willing to be open, so it's kind of back to surrender and connection, then I get what I need. So that's 20, right? Wow.